Good afternoon. We've got another wolf at the door. Bullying. Now maybe you're thinking, well, wait a minute. That doesn't happen at our school, does it? I mean, I had to think that. Really? Lauren, like, you think this is happening? Our students know better than to push and shove and mistreat others. Or what exactly, well, okay, let me finish my thought. Surely the wolf is going extinct in our Christian schools, right? We're knocking it out. Or what exactly is bullying? What does it involve? First, we're going to identify, well, actually, we should define it. So bully as a verb means to treat abusively or to intimidate. And there's a lot of ways that we can do that, and we're going to discuss that. Synonyms can be to domineer, oppress, nag, torment, force. Come to think of it, my sister forced me into playing games with her some days. Was that bullying? Probably not. It was good for me anyway, whether it was bullying or not, depending how she did it, maybe. So that brings out, we should actually have a balance, too, in relating to this. We don't want to come out that we're building students that are too sensitive to saying, oh, I'm being bullied all the time. We don't want that. And yet we need to be aware to and sensitive to the aspect that bullying is not a good thing. We want students to be sensitive to the feelings of others. Okay, so to treat abusively or to intimidate, who's involved? So you have the perpetrators, the bully himself, and some of these thoughts I got from various sources. One good thing you can listen to on the doc, a bullying topic. Listen to that if you get a chance. The thought he gave was that there's two types, and I hadn't thought of this too much. I had thought of the possibility that bullies can be victims themselves. They can be hurting people who are lashing out. And that struck home. One of my students, so I discussed this with my class, and one of my students actually came up with that, and I was like, yeah, that's probably dead on. But this speaker brought out the fact that sometimes we have what we call a pure bully who's well-connected, he has good friends, and yet he's even popular maybe, but he's trying to up himself. He's trying to stay at the top. Can that be a possibility too? Probably. So there could be maybe two ways that a person gets here. Okay, then we also have bystanders, those who are looking on. Bullying affects more than just the person who is being the bully and the victim. It affects anyone who's looking on. Bystanders fear retaliation depending on, you know, if they get in the way. They don't want to get in the way. They don't want to help the victim because of that. And then there's the victims, and of course they're probably most deeply affected. They can be, maybe it's because they're poor, maybe it's because they're unpopular, maybe they're different for some reason. Now let's think about what forms bullying can take. So there's the physical aspect. That's probably what you think of right away. Hitting, kicking, punching, spitting, pushing, taking or breaking someone's things, mean or rude hand gestures, those kinds of things are physical, and that can happen. As teachers, we need to make sure we're there and preventing it. We're not just there on our cell phones, but we're there to prevent this. But there's also other aspects of bullying. Can mockery be bullying? Is there a verbal aspect? Is there an emotional aspect? So I'm not gonna take much time on mockery because that's coming later. It's another wolf we're gonna, I think Brother Matthew's maybe considering that one. Threatening, teasing, taunting, name calling, and social aspects can be slander. Ostracism basically means to leave someone out, make them feel dumb, push them off. That can be bullying. Cliques is maybe another term you're familiar with that could go down that line. Public embarrassment And then we have this saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but what's the rest of it? Names will never hurt me, or words will never hurt me, or whatever. Is that true? Maybe in some aspects. So from, let's say you're receiving bullying, or you think you are. That's probably a good saying for you, right? Toughen up, be brave. And yet, is it true? Words can hurt. Actions, words are actions. And even just, not just words, but maybe subtle ways that you're being treated too. Okay, so I'll leave that as a challenge. What's the root? Well, sin, selfishness. I think selfishness goes a long ways here in producing this. What are the effects? So we have a hurt victim. He's left out. He may feel worthless. He may take it out on others, too. It can also cause depression, and I think in society around us, they realize that. They watch out for that kind of thing. Cause of suicide. You're getting cyberbullied. You're getting left out. You're getting name-calling, stuff like that. It can lead to depression and worse things. And it can debilitate, so we're thinking in the classroom, it can debilitate group function. It can debilitate against our classroom function. It can break up our effectiveness because now students are more worried about, are we going to get hit next? What's going to happen next? How can I get higher on the scale? How can I get my peers' approval? Those kind of things. And they're losing their focus on what we want them to be focused on. So it undermines security, too. Students need security. And it could lead to, of course, peer pressure always leads to making bad choices, usually. What can we do about it? So I think by now, hopefully, you've come to the conclusion that yes, this is practical in different ways. What can we do to prevent it? Well, that's the main thing, right? We've got to prevent it. We've got to stop it before it happens, if we can. Kind of like Eric mentioned, thank you for bringing that wolf analogy in there. Start small, gets bigger. So prevent it. Build a culture of love and respect for everyone. And that starts at the teacher. I had to ponder that question too. Do teachers bully? Can they end up in those shoes? I'm afraid probably so. So start there. Be what you should be. Build a culture of love and respect for everyone. Impartiality is actually pretty hard. I was just listening to a topic last night on my way home, and the speaker there, who's, if you want to get it, it's from WFTI, Western Teacher Fellowship Teachers Institute, last year or the year before, about impartiality. And he said that no teacher can be, usually can't be viewed as totally impartial. I mean, we try to, but people looking on will often end up seeing something and they'll say, oh, but, you know. So, yeah, we try to be. But what looks might be different. Okay, so prevent it. Be aware. Don't tolerate mockery and unkind actions. Eric, I think, mentioned procedures and stuff like that. Let them know what's expected. Provide structure and supervision. Be there. I mentioned that. Point students to Jesus. Be an example. 1 Timothy 3, verse 3 in the Amplified Bible Version says, now an overseer, and of course it's probably talking more about ministry, but could apply to us, definitely, must not be a bully or quick-tempered nor hot-headed, but gentle and compassionate. Reflect God's character. Build empathy and sensitivity toward others. I think that's important. I mentioned sensitivity already. Encourage love and forgiveness. Communicate with the parents and, of course, with the students too. Be involved and encourage involvement. And part of that is just when you're working with someone who needs help, help them to realize the influence and potential they have to make things better.